Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show, the first of a new season, and we welcome in the Jaguars head coach.
Really glad to be here, back at work.
Yeah, nice to have you. Are you ready? Are you refreshed from a couple of weeks where football was not necessarily?
Totally refreshed. I think the staff is the same way, and I'm sure the players, when they get in here Thursday, will feel that same way too.
Is training camp, even though you're approaching it as a coach now and not a player, but does it still have the same feelings that it did for you all those years ago with the Vikings and the Steelers?
It does. This is my 28th camp playing and coaching. And, you know, they are – it's a tough period of the season for everybody because it is a grind. It's very demanding on the players physically and mentally because you're literally 7 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night going at it for a little over a month. So it's a grind for everybody, even the coaches.
A marathon for sure. So we've got lots to talk about this evening. We're going to try and experiment this evening all Twitter, all the time, at Jags Voice. That's at JAGSVOICE. And we'll get your questions to the coach because we've got lots to talk about. Yeah, big picture, coach. Training camp's a lot different back then when you were playing for Bud Grant and for Chuck Knoll, isn't it? How do you approach camp? Trying to get as much done as you can to get your team ready for a game that's still very much the same.
Well, again, back then there was really no off-season workouts. So you came in after a one-weekend mini camp into training camp, and some teams you could get in shape while you're in training camp because it was a little bit longer than it is now. That's not the case anymore, and you could come in with many more players than they do. We do now, the 90. So, you know, like at the tight end position, there were 7 guys. Now you can't have more than 5 on your roster, so the demands on the body are a little greater. So you got to be careful how you practice players. And with the new CBA, that takes care of itself because you're really only limited to one full practice a day. And right. that'll take care of these guys' bodies, and we're going to be smart with them.
You know, this was the first offseason, obviously, because the last offseason was lost to the labor dispute. So how did it go? I mean, were you coming in with a new coaching staff put together and guys that you were just getting to know? Were you able to get done what you thought you needed to be ready for camp?
I was very pleased. I think our whole staff was pleased because we even though there were no practices last year, this year's offseason was still far, shorter than the ones before. We lost a number of practices because of the new collective bargaining agreement. So this was obviously better than last year, but we were limited to what we could do, time on the field, time in meetings, time with the players, and really, for the first time in NFL history, when they were not here, we still couldn't even talk to them, and they couldn't even come in to work out. So we were really restricted on how we could work with these guys, and to get accomplished what we got accomplished in the allotted time, basically 10 weeks, we got a lot done. And, much further ahead than I know offensively than I think any of us thought we could be.
Yeah.
And it showed that as the practices went on, you could see they were taking steps further and further, which was great to see.
Do you suppose that you'll get used to that system, or do you suppose at some point logic will prevail and they'll let you talk a little bit in the offseason?
I think it frustrates the players as well because they want to ask questions. We really reinforce we want them to ask. We don't want anybody to have anything unclear to them. And for them not to be able, for an example, for them to come in here and want to work out with a teammate, which is much easier to run with a guy than by yourself. It's much strenuous by yourself. But you literally cannot run on the same field, at least here at the Jaguars, with a teammate. And it was clearly noted by the NFL, you can only have 3 guys, obviously, because we only got 3 fields.
But right.
But at no time can any 2 players give the impression, this is a quote, can they give the impression that they are working out together at the Jaguars facility, which
wow.
to me is...
It has nothing to do with whether the coaches are on the field or not.
There can't be. And right. anything that goes on the fields is filmed and sent to the NFL. So it's, and we are definitely abiding by the rules. We are not going to even mess with trying to cross the line. And that's been our statement since we got here. So the players really adapted to it. The coaches, some of the older guys, the long-time coaches like Sly Kerim and Jerry Sullivan, having to pull them off the field when they weren't allowed to be on the field. That's just tough for me to do because they love coaching, and the guys that are coaching love to be coached.
Well, you're talking about a level of a profession where people are super achievers. I mean, they didn't get there by only doing the minimum amount. They got there by always being willing to ask questions, watch film, work out, and do a lot of those things.
Right.
So guys are going to have to figure out ways to work harder at home, perhaps.
Huh? I'll tell you where the disadvantage is to the younger players, maybe the later draft round picks, the free agents. Because I'll use myself as an example, being a ninth round pick up in Minnesota. If I don't move to Minnesota with my new wife after my rookie year and literally show up at the facility every single day and spend half a day there working out, I'm not sure they would have known who I was and what I was capable of doing. They just saw my intent on wanting to get better every day and watching film and doing things in the off season that they can't do now. And some of the younger players are going to be, they're going to kind of get shuffled away because we can't see what they're doing.
They're going to have to adapt and overcome and figure out a different way to get your attention.
Well, when they do get on the field, they have to have some kind of wow factor immediately. They got to do something when they get their few chances that they get.
They make the most of it. So one practice a day, and you have elected to practice in the morning as opposed to the last couple years around here, they've been working at night. Tell us about that decision.
Well, I'm familiar with that. That's what we did in Pittsburgh, and I did that in Buffalo. Again, I was in Pittsburgh for 11 years, 8 coaching and 3 playing with Chuck Knoll, and that's some of the things we did. And a lot of the things I base my philosophy off of is what Chuck Knoll did. And I know it's hot at 8:30, and I know it's hot at 7 o'clock at night. I've been here long enough to know it's hot. And my point and what we're trying to get accomplished is we would like to get the hard work in the morning and give them a full day to recover. The second practice is really not a practice, it's a walkthrough. So we still feel like the hour that they'll be on the field, they'll still be in a recovery mode, even though it may be warm. They won't have helmets on. They won't be running fast. It's going to be time for them. And I'm going to give them, after the morning practice, after the full pad practice, they'll have 3 hours in between practices to go back to the hotel, get off their feet, get rest. And again, that night when we do meet and we do all the installations, I feel like they'll be a lot fresher at that point than otherwise. And again, there's no right or wrong to what time you practice. I just think from my experience over the years playing and coaching in the morning, there's a lot more accomplished, and I know I felt better when the camp was over with.
And you had a team that finished last year looking like a MASH unit, to be quite honest with you. So many guys were on injured reserve that they were playing with guys that they just grabbed off the street just to fill a roster spot. So is that part of your thinking as well, is to be able to get these guys and have them fresh for the start of the season?
That's a big part of it. I'm not sure why everything happened like it did last year with all the injuries. It was really unique that it did. I mean, the most guys on IR, but we've done a lot of things since we've got here, starting early April, of the way we're training, the way we're feeding these guys, the way we're plugging in the nutrients and the power bars when they walk off. We're trying to immediately replenish what they just lost on the practice field. And anything we can do to stay healthy will be important to us.
All right, you're listening to the very first Mike Mularkey Show, and we'll return with more with the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Welcome back. This is the Mike Mularkey Show on a Monday evening. That's the date and the time for our show. All season long, Coach, you will be asked this every day, so I'll ask it right now. Tell us about Maurice Jones-Drew. Any ideas on him yet, or is it just a wait and see?
It's a wait and see. All the players have been asked to sign a letter, or asked to at least sign a document that states that they got our training camp information as far as reporting time and weights to report at. All the information they need to get started here on Thursday, and I know the guys we sent the letters out to all got returns that they have received it. Now it's just a matter who does show and does not show.
A lot of questions on Twitter. A couple of them want to know how long it would take a running back, Maurice in particular, to pick up your offense, if he does arrive late.
It's not going to be. I mean, I think the longer it is, it'll be tough because you've advanced into the installation. Right now, we're starting from scratch again, day one of training camp. And in the run game, I really don't think he'll have a problem picking it up. At all. I don't think he's going to have a struggle. I think it's a very user-friendly offense. Obviously, the more times you get to hear it and the more times you get to actually run it and see what's going on with your guys up front, but it's better for them. But if there's going to be a problem, it'll probably be in the protections, and it would probably be on third down, the protections.
League's leading rusher, special player to be sure. Tell us your thoughts on Rashad Jennings, who will be getting most of the carries until he does get here.
I've been impressed with him. You know, he's when we have gone in these OTAs and in the mini camps, Rashad has gone in there with the number one group and really shown he's got the capability to do what we ask for a not just a first and second down back, but he can do our third down protections, and that's critical. If you got a guy that can do all that for you, he can do things on special teams that are I think he's just a good football player. So I know our coaches are very confident in him. I know his teammates are. I know he wants to show that he's capable of being a feature back, and I'm not so sure he can't be.
All Twitter tonight, folks. All Twitter, at Jags Voice, JAGSVOICE. You got one, Coach, and it's interesting. Wants to know how much the running back is used in a modern offense, and the question is, can Rashad take the load, and you thought he could. So are we seeing an evolution of the game that kind of phases out the running game?
I don't think so. And when it comes to the running back, especially in this offense, there is a load on it, on that position. You got to be careful of it, especially with the pounding that goes on these days. So I think we've done a good job, at least where we've been, our coaching staff, of really monitoring the reps, getting, you know, in for an example, in Atlanta, Michael Turner would take himself out, or we felt like, hey, he's not running with the same level of his pad levels starting to come up. He's starting to get tired, or, you know, he didn't play on third down. We had a third down back, so we knew we could keep him fresh on first and second downs, and hopefully we were making first and second downs on first and second downs.
Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't have to come off the field. But that position is critical in our offense, and running the football is, if you ever hear any defense in the NFL, their number one rule is stop the run. You never hear anybody get up there and go, we need to stop the pass this week, even though everybody says it's a passing offense. The first thing any defensive coordinator will tell you is they got to stop the run because they know it'll get them beat.
Right. Set the tempo, make that happen.
Right.
Along those lines, a lot of folks look at last year and the offensive line, and they are critical of the way that they protected the quarterback. I always want to point out, though, that with an offense that really didn't throw the ball very well, boy, could they run it. You know, your impressions of what you've seen from this offensive line group, and I know a couple of the guys have been injured and they're working their way back in.
Right. We're getting some guys back in there, and there's a lot of guys banged up front. Not just the guys that were on IR. There were guys that were playing that had little aches and pains here and there. But I think that some of that's our job as coaches, to put them in a good position in the protection scheme. It's hard to get a fair evaluation in an off season when there's no pads on, even though our tempo is pretty high. It's hard to really get a good judge of who can block one-on-one against a really good player. That will come. That's what's important when we get into training camp, that we find out early with the pads, because we don't have a lot of padded practices because we just can't based on the new CBA. We got to find out early who can, and if they're struggling, we need to help them some way, or with a back, a tight end, with the passing game, quickening up things, whatever we got to do to help out anybody that may have a mismatch. That will certainly be the case this year. I mean, that's what we've done wherever I've been.
You're right. That's really the only way you can tell those guys up front. I mean, there's not other drills you can use, is
there? Well, you're not allowed to do one-on-one in the offseason, so there is no one-on-one pass rush. There's no one-on-one routes versus corners, playing bump and run. Those are things you just can't do anymore. So now you've got to find out quickly, and with limited reps and limited time on the field, you got to find out as fast as you can who can.
Are there restrictions on the number of padded practices you can run in training camp?
No, there's not, but you know, based on the way the schedule set and the way our games have unfolded with the you know, it's not 7 days in between each. You just got to be careful of overloading these guys.
All right, folks, 355. Oh, not doing the phone number tonight. At Jags Voice. At Jags Voice. If you'd like to join us on the Mike Mularkey Show here this evening on WOKV and across the Jaguars Radio Network, we'll take this break. And as we go, we'll invite you to visit Sonny's today and try their new barbecue baskets. There's slow smoke pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show at Jags Voice, J-A-G-S-V-O-I-C-E. I get your questions in front of me on Twitter, and I pass them along to the coach. Obviously, another storyline and a question you're often asked about is the quarterback, young Mr. Gabbert, who you have now had for a portion of the offseason, as we've been detailing, not a lot, but enough. So what are your thoughts on the young quarterback and what you've seen so far, Coach?
Well, I've been impressed with him since I've met him, and I thought he took some strides in a positive direction. In the 10 weeks, we really had a chance to work with him. I think Greg Olsen has done a fabulous job of trying to do some things in the pocket with his balance and his pocket presence. A lot of things that we saw on tape we have addressed. I sit in the meetings with the quarterbacks. Greg is very diligent about the way we want to do things, and it is a little bit of a change from what he came from last year. Again, I'm not saying anything was wrong last year, but the way we want to do things is a little different. We want him to be much more in balance in the pocket when he's throwing the ball. Hopefully with the accuracy improving, and we're constantly putting pressure on him. Even if it's in a 7-on-7 drill, we're putting people in his face to have to either step up in the pocket, sidestep, whatever he had to do, and really focusing on making him watch the receiver make the catch and just kind of totally wipe out everything else that may be a distraction in his vision.
Question from Matt, and he's asking about the toughness factor. You know, that was one of the criticisms from outside, right, from commentators and folks out there.
Right.
What you're talking about, is that in response to that, or is that what you do with quarterbacks just naturally?
No, I think that's what quarterbacks, I mean, those are drills quarterbacks do. But, I've got my own thoughts on some of the things that people saw in the pocket last year. And, I don't think I'm going to question his toughness, because there are things that I know about some of the aches and pains that he played through and no one else knows about. And I know there's some guys that would not have played with some of the injuries that he had, and I think he's a tough guy. He's never complained about it. He never brings up anything's bothering him. He's very passionate about his job, and I know he's been criticized really since we first got here, and he really has never said anything about it. He just goes about his business. He really wants to be good for this franchise, for the city. It's important to him. And we're going to do whatever we can to help him be successful. And I think he realizes that. We're here for him. And I think he did. He took some good steps forward for us.
You've got a young quarterback that you had limited time with during the spring, not preseason. Will you maybe play him more during the preseason than you might have a young quarterback, just so you can get more of a look? Does he need more time on the field, or do you have to be really careful with your starting quarterback?
I think you got to be careful who he's with. I mean, protecting him, running routes for him. I think you got to just base it on, let's go the Giants game. We've got a plan for that, and if we feel like we need to do something more, we have a plan for every game right now. But if we need to adjust that plan, we'll adjust it. If we feel like he needs more, or we're comfortable where they're at, again, I'm talking about the starters, we can adjust it.
Sounds like training camp will decide a lot.
It will. I mean, what you see. You think about it. Last year, he was number three when he got here at this time last year. Yeah. So he had limited number of reps. He had no reps because there was no offseason. Then he had limited reps because our third quarterback and third and really fourth quarterback in training camp get very few reps. So I'm assuming he had that last year through camp.
Sure did, until the New England game, where all of a sudden everyone else is hurt and he ended up having to play almost the entire game.
Right.
So the thing that most people can't see, Coach, and you would have by now, what about his leadership characteristics?
I like what I see on the field. I look for that even when I'm watching film on evaluating players. Like when I watch a college player, I can tell a lot about a quarterback. I watch a touchdown throw. You know, does he run? Is he one of the first guys down there to go celebrate with that receiver that you just did something great for our team? Or is he the guy that's going to run? It's all about me. Or I just watch how they. I watch a lot of things that they do that don't have anything to do with plays.
Right.
I watch who they hang with in the cafeteria, who they hang with in the locker room, when they're not asked to do something or told or instructed. What are they doing with teammates? I like what I see about the guy, and then what I like is when he steps in the huddle, there is a command there that those players feel like, they got to believe that play is going to work. And there's some quarterbacks, and you can tell the huddle break, they're like, I'm not sure about this.
Right.
And really, he is, there's some guys that struggle with play calling. He's never once asked, give it to me again. where I've been around most quarterbacks don't get it that quick. And he can step right in the huddle and use the verbiage we have. And guys are – that's why we were in and out of the huddle and in practice as quickly as we were.
Rangers do another question from Keith Johnson. He wants to know how coachable Blaine is.
He wants coaching. And he's got, a great one. I mean, Greg Olson had a chance to be a coordinator in a couple of different places, and I really had to work it to get him to come here. And I think he'll be a coordinator again in the league. But I just think he's just very passionate, and it's very important to him about what he does and how well his, the success his players are going to have. And he's a great coach. Great coach to be around.
I know the storyline has been out there with a veteran quarterback and Chad Henne coming in, and some people have pointed and said, well, Henne could push, if Blaine doesn't get off to a good start. I just like the concept that you've got competition in the room. How do you like what you've seen from the dynamic of that room?
It's a great mix of young and experienced. Even with Jordan Palmer in there, who has some experience in NFL games, who's come in here. We signed him late in the offseason. He came in their personalities are all a little bit different, but I think there is no grudges. There's no, from what I see, guys trying to gather groups to get me to be the guy. There's just nothing like that. This locker room has been, I was told when I was hired here about this locker room, about the character of the guys in this locker room, and it was true. And in that room, that quarterback room, it's been just pleasant to be in there. All competitive guys, all guys that work their tail off.
It's exactly what you're looking for.
Exactly.
All right, guys, we've got a whole lot more. We've got another half hour of the Mike Mularkey Show at Jags Voice, JAGSVOICE. We'll get your question to the coach. We'll take this quick timeout and return after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, getting the kids ready to go back to school in a couple of weeks, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Brian Sexton along with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. First show, Mondays, 6 o'clock, all season long. Book it. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your defense. And you're retaining Mel Tucker. Your thoughts on Mel and a defense last year that was beleaguered. And you saw that, as you mentioned, late in the year. And they still finished a tenth of a yard out of a top five finish.
Right. Well, I could talk about Mel Tucker all night. I got so much respect for him, and very fortunate that Mel stayed here. And he really wanted to be here. And the hard part with Mel was I asked him. Well, he had a couple opportunities to go elsewhere: Minnesota, Atlanta, highly sought after because of his ability to be a coordinator, and I think he'll be a head coach in this league, but. I told Mel, going way back a little bit, about as bad as I know I need you here to win, I'm going to ask you to go to Minnesota and Atlanta. Go ahead and interview, because I want you to see what's out there. Because I think if you do go, you're going to find out for yourself this is the best place for you. But unless you go, you're never really going to see that. And as hard as it is for me to tell you this, right. And it's just killing me to talk to you about going, I think in the long run, I think you'll come back, and what will really happen for me, then I'll also know that you're all in here. And that was important, that Mel went out, saw other places, and came back here. And I think people thought there's no way he and I could coexist, since we were both interviewing for the job. And I told Mel, and I said, Mel, people really don't know you and I. We'll work well together, and we have. And I named Mel the assistant head coach, and I involve Mel in a lot of my conversations when making some decisions, because I just think, he is going to be a head coach, and I want him to be prepared for some of the things I'm facing right now. So when it goes across his plate, he's already had some experience with it.
Sure.
So defensively, very happy with our guys, very confident in what we're doing. What they did last year is almost a minor miracle, because rarely do you, have an offense rank dead last and then have a defense. Usually you got to complement each other somehow in some way, and for what they did and hung in there in very trying times with a lot of things going on, ownership change and a lot of things going on, I thought they just buckled down and never stopped fighting all the way to the last play. And I watched that on tape. I look to see when a team's down and out and not going to make the playoffs, who's going to have guys that aren't going to finish plays, and the defense never showed that.
You've got a couple of guys in the middle of that defensive line that are really the core, and that is Tyson Alualu and Terrence Knighton. Both of them are coming into camp, you know, off of some surgery and having to have some time to rest. How do you work those two guys in particular, Coach, in training camp?
We're going to talk about that. We actually have a meeting tomorrow, how we're going to monitor all, not just those two, but, you know, all of our guys. That some of the guys that are older and experienced, some guys that really are coming, like Rasheen Mathis coming off of
another one
that we got to be smart, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But you know, CJ Mosley has come in and done a great job for us in the off season, and you know, we got some guys inside that can wreak havoc. I'm looking kind of forward to see what Jarris can do, or
Pendleton.
Pendleton can do for us when he puts the pads on, because he's a little bit of a freak athlete for his size.
And Branch, the young defensive end from Clemson, you know, they've lacked that John Abraham presence around here for a couple of years, and clearly he's a guy with athleticism.
He's got a really high motor. I made the comment to somebody, it might have been in an article, I just said he's not a nice guy. I mean, he just...
It's not a nice game.
It's not a nice game, and he's not a nice guy, and that's why I love him. I think when the pads go on, I think people are going to really like this guy, the way he comes after the quarterback. I mean, he is nonstop, and that's what a lot of these guys that are the sack masters in the league, they call them garbage sacks because they get them late, but they get them late because they just don't stop.
Right.
I mean, I'd rather have a guy like that any day.
Relentless.
Relentless, and that's a good description of him.
A lot of us around here developed an appreciation for the style that Jeremy Mincy brings as well, and I don't want to leave him out of the conversation.
I hope you wouldn't, because I was going to bring him up, because you talk about a guy that's easy to follow. His lead, he is an unbelievable leader. Very easy to I'm not just talking about on the field, but on the field he is he just goes 100 miles an hour and not going to let anybody, you know, dictate how he's going to practice. And, you know, maybe he's going to make some other guys on our team better because of the way he practices. But he is outstanding in this building. He's a guy that you can tell right now loves football and practices like that and plays a game like it. And, you know, people really don't realize there's very few ends, defensive ends in the league, that can play over 1,000 snaps like he did and have the kind of production he did.
And be healthy.
And be healthy.
He was one of the few guys on that side of the ball that was.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, that's a lot about just his character.
Here's a guy, and I know you looked at him last year when you were preparing for this team. He never gets any accolades, but Darryl Smith is just a fine football player and the kind of guy that just you can count on.
He's a great football player, and he just knows how to do things the right way, and he's in the right place. He just kind of goes about his business. He makes a lot of statements without saying a word, and those are the kind of football players we like.
And your linebacking core with Posluszny, who was added last year, you get Clint Session, and obviously Russ is there. So you've got a lot of guys back there.
We do, and they're all great leaders. I mean, it's not just one guy over the other. You got a good group right there that can.
And your rookie,
right? And we got a good core young group coming in there that you know. Not just for defensively, but special teams wise, we got some guys that are going to help us out in that phase, because we always kind of forget about the special teams, and I'm a kind of a favorite of the special teams since I made a living doing that.
Absolutely.
So we got some linebackers that can play for us.
And we got plenty of time to continue talking about special teams, and we'll take your questions via Twitter for head coach Mike Mularkey on the first Mike Mularkey Show of a new season. Training camp begins Thursday when the players report. Practice on Friday morning. Take this break and come back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Jaguars fans, not too far away. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're just a little more than 2 weeks away from your first preseason game.
Not long.
Is that 2 weeks from Friday or 2 weeks from Saturday?
Actually,
I get my dates right.
Yeah, I think it's three.
Is it three?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's the third, right?
Hold on, I'm going to give it.
No, the third's a scrimmage. Yeah.
The 10th.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It'll be here in flash.
Nevertheless, it'll be here before you even know it. So, get your team ready. Obviously, that's a big part of this, Coach. We were talking a little bit about defense on the other side of the ball. You mentioned Rasheen Mathis. Obviously, Aaron Ross is in camp this year. And, you know, we've seen this secondary kind of evolve. Give us your thoughts so far on what you've seen from this group.
Well, Aaron Ross, you know, obviously a free agent signing in the offseason, came in here and really just picked up what we're doing quickly and flashed some what we like. Not just the coverage part, the cover two part, the man coverage, but I think he's going to be a hitter at the corner position. When you play cover two, your corners have to tackle. I mean, they're the force for the outside run, and so we feel very good about him, and we're hoping Rasheen can come back to where he was. Derek Cox, big corner, very happy, and I think our safeties are our headhunter types, and very happy with the secondary.
You know, the funny thing was 2 years ago, the safeties were the big issue back in 2010, and last year no one talked about them.
No, I think
they just came in and played so well.
Yeah, they're two special players, and you know, Landry, I was telling somebody this morning, he has yet to have a – we chart every play in practice, and Mel is very hard on the grading. And one of the things we chart is loafs. If you don't finish a play – and sometimes I think a guy's even finishing and he yells, "That's a loaf." I'm like, he's pretty tough on these guys. Landry has never had a loaf since he's been here. That's unheard of. That's kind of his mentality.
Yeah. Bright guy. Yeah. Really a bright guy. A couple of questions from Twitter, at Jags Voice, if you would like to join us. Coach, this is from Jordan. He wants to know what the impact of playing four perennial playoff teams in the preseason with deep rosters is for you. Do you see it as a good evaluation for depth players?
No doubt. Really do. I mean, we got a tough preseason schedule. I don't know if there's, you know, you
such
start,
a thing, but, yeah.
start judging. But, yeah, that first one out of the gate, that'll be a good test. You know, the Super Bowl champs, very good defense, and obviously a very good front four. That'll be a great test for our starters. And when starters are going against starters, and again, I'm not going to say how long that's going to be, but that'll be good for us. The preseason's about the games, is about evaluating talent, about obviously working your techniques and your fundamentals. But it's a little bit of a gauge of what we need to get better at, and you got 4 weeks, four games to find out what that is and work on it before that first opener comes about. But we've got four teams, and really the four teams we have four really good defenses, and a couple of them have some high-potent offenses that we got to have to deal with.
Absolutely. And programs, as was mentioned in the tweet, that have won consistently, so they've got good systems, good coaches,
right.
Which means that the guys, you know, going to play in the third and fourth quarter, they better have their game ready to go.
They better. Again, you only get so many chances for those young guys, and they've got to make them count. And I've said it to them over and over that you can't be like everybody else. There's a bunch of you. I mean, we just got to find a guy that sends the wow factor to the coaches, where you open up our eyes and you do something that nobody else does. Whatever that is, I don't know what it is, but you got to find what that is for us. And do it in your limited chances you'll have.
All right, folks, more to come with head coach Mike Mularkey. This break, then we'll talk about Josh Scobie here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Coach, we talked about special teams a couple of minutes ago. I'm sure that you were relieved to have Josh Scobie back in the mix.
Glad to have him back. Sorry the process, you know, we had to go through that but that's just the way
it is. Business,
that's
it?
The business. But glad to have him back, and if we can get you know, our punter signed and get those two working together, especially when the snap, hold, and kick.
That's really important, isn't it?
That's very important. So they'll have plenty of time to get that done, but the sooner the better.
So Paul Green tweets, what's the longest field goal attempt you'll let Josh Scobie try and get?
Well, I know at least 63.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on how the game is flowing, where we're at with it, the score, you know. But, you know, he's got a big leg, and I'll trust what he believes he can kick.
You know, a lot of people criticize.
Especially with our defense.
You know,
where we've got a defense that can make a stand if we're stuck there at midfield.
Well, and that brings us to the punter. You know, and people think, punter in the third round, oh, my goodness. But when you look at the impact of the punter now, because of kickoffs are really not a field position determination anymore. I mean, so many of them go into the end zone now. You flip field position with the punter alone.
Field position is all about I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's really huge, especially with the new rule of the kickoff. You see how many teams or offenses now start on the 20, and if you don't get a first or two, even two, you really, you know, you're giving your opponent a great chance for field position. If you've got a guy that can get you out of a bad situation, if you're backed up or if you're on the 20, that can change the field and boom it like Brian can, it definitely is. He is a huge factor in the outcomes of games. I mean, I've seen teams lose because of that position.
We saw it here last year twice.
Carolina
and Cincinnati.
Okay, I wasn't going there, but yeah. I mean, I've seen it happen, and it happens every week. So, you know, it's nice to have a guy that's got a leg like him.
Was it what you thought it would be? I mean, from what you'd seen on the tape? Because I'm sure you didn't go work him out.
No, I didn't. I saw him on tape.
Right.
And now I've seen him live, and, you know, it can be jaw dropping sometimes. Some of the punt. There's some I've never seen punted as far as he's punted them. I mean, just literally, and all the balls I've seen punted. Yeah. There's some I've never seen this far.
And what a weapon that is.
That's a weapon. You know, if he can consistently, again, he's going to have one here or there that that's just the way it's going to be. But, he gets to a point, he gets confident and comfortable with what we're doing. He can be a big factor for us.
And lots of guys, obviously, are involved in the coverage teams. But one guy in particular who really has risen around here is Montel Owens, who's been to a couple of Pro Bowls.
Another guy I love, you know, kind of just does his job. He gets recognized for his play. He doesn't have to go out of his way to be a showboat or anything. He's not. He's just a quiet, good football player. And
more of those, please.
Yes.
Yeah. More of those, please.
I think we got a lot. I think we have more than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really a good locker room.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to watch this one grow. All right. One quick break. We'll come back and wrap up the first Mike Mularkey show of a new season after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. We'll wrap it up here in the next couple of minutes. How about general, Coach? How have you adjusted to life in North Florida? Being a Floridian, I'm sure you're glad to be back in your home state.
Very glad to be back. Closer to family than I've been in years. But, you know, my mom and is in Dunellen, brother down in Ormond Beach, sister's still in Lauderdale. My wife's family's in Central Florida. So it's been great to be able to see them probably more than I have in years. So it's been great to – and then – you know, having a son working there has been pretty good.
Yeah, too. I was going to say, how is that?
It's good. He just got married on the 14th, so that was a big weekend for us. But it's been great to see his face at work every day.
Yeah. And how about the pace of life in Jacksonville, Florida? It's a little bit different than Atlanta, obviously.
A little bit. I actually live, I did live north of Atlanta.
So you didn't get in the mess of all that?
We were in a really, kind of like where we are now.
Okay.
Very quiet, nice pace, not crazy. You know, quiet town that just goes about their business. And so we're very happy. Love living here.
And have you found from a lot of the fans that you've interacted with, a passion and B, a respect?
I'm shocked how many people that I meet and run into every day go, I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just there's a lot of good energy around the town about what's going on here, just like there is in the building. And people are excited about camp starting up and the season getting going. But it's been very positive everywhere we've been.
How fast will it go from Friday when you take the field to the end of the season? I mean, I know it's a grind. It's a long thing.
It's a blur, yeah.
But it does kind of become a blur, doesn't it?
It does.
Even all these years that you've done it.
Yeah, it's a blur. Training camp, again, for players and coaches, it's that first 10 days is very grueling because there's not a lot to look forward to. And, you don't want to tell them, hey, you just get through it, because what you're really trying to find out is who can handle the mental and physical pressure. At a time when it's hot and you're tired and you're not around your family, I want to know who can do it then. That'll make a difference in the Decembers and Januaries when we're playing.
In this first show, we focused a lot on the name players that everyone knows. But Gene Smith and Terry McDonough and their crew over there have done a pretty good job at giving you a lot of young guys to evaluate. Undrafted guys that I think they're pretty excited about.
Yeah, they have, and we're excited to work with them. And, you know, it's time. I mean, it's just different. Training camp's different with the pads go on. Some guys are going to get exposed, good and bad.
Sure.
And looking forward to seeing who those guys are.
I'm sure they're not.
No.
But it does certainly happen. And then before you know it, I mean, we'll be talking about the preseason games and the Giants coming in here and then Minnesota.
Right.
Which is kind of a fitting place for you to go back and bring your team.
Yeah. I have a lot. We lived up there for 11 years when I was with the Vikings, so we have a lot of friends. I vacation with them still. You know, there's a lot of good people up there. I'll be hopefully hurting their feelings when we leave.
Yeah, exactly.
When we leave town. But no, it's kind of ironic that we're starting up there.
Excited.
Very.
Glad
very.
To be back
everybody's,
in that chair.
Everybody's. Yeah, I'm glad to be back in this chair and have another opportunity. Very blessed to have had this chance and glad to be working with you.
And we're excited to have you, Coach. Mondays at 6 o'clock. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Brian. Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
And thanks for all of you listening. On behalf of Joe Fortunato, we'll talk to you next Monday night here on the Jaguars Radio Network.